Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart hosting his way through this week's show after a super Saturday last week. 11 races covered. We've only got a smaller show this week, 7 races to get through, and a dual purpose show this week with Market Raising, a Unibet sponsored card at Market Raising, where we've got 3 races and some group 3 and listed action from Newbury as well in part 2 of our show. But who's here to preview the action alongside me? We've got Johnny Pearson and Robbie Wilders from the Racing Post. And guess what? The super sub is back. No Ed Nicholson this week, but Brett Williams steps in. Brett, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be returning to that. I know how many viewers this show gets. And just talking to Ed Nicholson a couple of days ago, and I think he's going to be a hard act to follow, because didn't he pick 5 winners last week, apparently?
Yeah, he had an excellent week, Ed Nicholson. He put up 5 winners as well as tipping Ancient Truth up 25-1 with Unibet. Unibet with top price at the time for the 2,000 guineas in 2025. Johnny Pearson, how impressed were you with the Godolphin horse?
Well, it was very impressed. The way he finished up the hill at the end, just going past everything seemingly quite easily. It's hard not to be taken by. But, you know, looking forward to 2,000 guineas next year, yeah. I'd be steering well clear of that market for the time being. There's still many we haven't seen, as well as, you know, how many that have run already that have been impressive. You know, the likes of, was it Whistle something or other for Aidan O'Brien?
Whistle Jacket, yeah. There have been plenty of horses.
So yeah, we're steering clear of that for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the Irish have got plenty, and who knows, Aidan O'Brien could send up plenty of more top quality 2-year-olds in the coming weeks and months. Right, let's get into the action then, gents, this week. We'll start off at Market Raising. Like I say, Unibet sponsoring the card there. So plenty of offers on some of these races that we're going to be going through. But the first on ITV is going to be the 205, which is the Unibet Money Backers Cash Races Handicap Hurdle over 2.5 miles. And the prices currently with Unibet look like this. Piffo is 100-30. Clara Rose is 11-2. Belvedere Blast, 13-2. Happy Boy is 8-1. Faithful Flyer, 17-2. Nayarti and Flying Fortune, 9-1. And looking at double figures and bigger about the rest of the field. And I'll come to you first, Brett. Like I say, Unibet sponsored card at Market Raising. Excellent to be sponsoring this summer jumps card. What have we got in this race?
Yeah, this is a cracking race, isn't it? And it's named the Unibet Money Backers Cash Handicap Hurdle. And this is the race where you will get your money back as cash if you back the second or the third. So a great incentive to perhaps sort of get involved each way. And we're also paying 4 places each way as well. I think Piffo is obviously the standout horse on the back of his last couple of wins. But I just think Sheldon, top weight of 12 stone, is going to take some doing. And I'm quite keen on Clara Rose here for Dan and Harry Scout. He's been in solid enough form. I think the better ground will suit this mare. She didn't quite handle the soft at Utoxeter last time, but you know, it's drying out, you know, quite a lot at Market Raising. The official ground is described as good. I think that would definitely suit Clara Rose. And just at a slightly bigger price, I know you're probably going to think I'm mad, around 25-1. Baron de Middleton, I think it's looking quite well handicapped here. I know it was beaten in a cellar last time, but hasn't got sort of much to find ratings with the rest of these. One over course and distance, Brian Ellison's horses are in good form, and it's 25-1 when we are paying 4 places each way. I can definitely see Baron de Middleton running well. And for those of you that want to know what has been battered that I've not backed, Flying Fortune, a lot of money for this one, trained by Peter Bowen, now into 10-1 from 14s.
Yeah, I can see the Bowens having a very good day at Market Raising. Actually, they've got a big run out in the summer plate coming up later on. Robbie Wilders, who did you like in the 205?
Yeah, mate. I actually thought Flying Fortune was still a value at 10-1, to be honest. I'm a sucker for a good pedigree. This mare is out of a Lancashire Oaks winner and an Aintree Mare's Bumper winner. So that's a grade 2 and a group 2. Very lightly raced by Soldier of Fortune. She's been second on her last 2 runs. The second one was behind a mare called Gail Marler, who is winning 4 on the spin there. I think that's good form. She was nicely clear of the third that day. It was only a novice hurdle, but the handicap has not raised her. And she's only 5. The Bowens have a good record at Market Raising. So I think that's 10-1 about her each way. It's a very nice price.
Yeah, and Brett's mentioned already that this horse has been well supported. Johnny Pearson, you're the last one to finish off in the first race of the show.
No, I'm with Robbie on this one. I'd like to find Fortune as well. You know, as been mentioned, Bowens, it's a meeting they like to send runners to, especially for the summer plate. And yeah, the last 2 runs have been pretty solid second places. You know, only They're only two runs so far this year, and the last one's probably put her cherry ripe for this race here, and I think she could run a very big race.
Okay, there we go. So plenty of following for this horse of Peter and Michael Bowen. Flying Fortune, certainly the one to be with, around 9-1. Extra place available with Unibet as well on that 205. The 240 is the Unibet Daily Industry Best Prices Summer Handicap Hurdle. Just over 2 miles here, which is Black Poppy and Manuelito as the joint favourites at 13-2. Fringle Dyke, 7-1. Maxell, 17-2. Kiavar is 9-1. Mostly Sunny, 9-1. Double figures and bigger about the rest. Robbie Wilders, to you first on this one here. Look, it couldn't get more open than this. 13-2 the field.
Plenty open. I think Manuelito would be interesting me much more on soft ground by Cracksman. The dam was like soft ground as well. Quite interesting. She ran really well on the flat last time. Got a terrible run through at Carlisle behind a well-handicapped Irish winner. But I think Black Poppy's the right favourite. And you sort of still get an each-way price because it's so competitive.
Yeah.
Kerry Lee, this is only a second, obviously a great place of a horse. There's only a second runner at market raising in the last 5 years. When she books Sand Twist and Davis, they're showing a very good return together. They're 8 from 23 over the last 5 years. Plus 27 quid level stakes profit of all time. And you should go back to his horse's form, really. I mean, he's fourth in the Christmas hurdle on his latest start. Obviously, none of these could handle a Christmas hurdle. He wouldn't be beaten far by a horse like Rubo in First Street. And that was despite the fact that he reportedly bled from the nose. I mean, that's obviously a red flag, but he's been off 207 days. Lee can ready one first time out. And it's a really good pot. I imagine he's been aimed at it for a while. I mean, if he wins this, he'll pick up more money than Rubo did for finishing second in the Christmas hurdle. So I think there's a lot to like about Black Poppy. And I mean, even if you go back 2 starts ago, he was trying to give a stone to our champ, who was running off 117 at Cheltenham. That horse is rated £15 higher. I think he's still on a good mark, 130. And I mean, as long as you know that he's over that bleeding, I think he's got a cracking each way chance.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot easier than facing the likes of Constitution Hill, Rubo and First Street, isn't it? But Black Poppy, 13-2, a really good price. And I'm sure we're going to get extra places as well as a brand new offer. Ed did mention it last week, Brett, about the best industry pricing races. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so you can basically choose which race you'd like to get the best industry price or obviously your selection in that race. It's a new offer. All details, of course, available on our website, unibet.co.uk. And you are correct, Sam. We are paying an extra place each way in this. So 5 places each way in this. This is a core club. I mean, just to echo what Robert said, really, about Black Poppy. I mean, undoubtedly, he's the best horse in the race. This is a significant drop down in grade from the Christmas hurdle. And again, Kerry Lee, she does get them ready first time out. But perhaps in a race against sort of horses that are fit and have been running throughout the summer, just could perhaps be vulnerable. And not that you're not going to get a short price with Black Poppy, because you said sort of 13-2, 7-1 is a decent each way shot anyway. But I just think that Mostly Sunny could be the one to side with here. A good run behind the rear post in Maxell last time. There's no real reason at the weights, in fact, why he should reverse form. I just think the step up in trip will suit him a little bit more than it will the Riley runner. And it's sort of well priced there at around 8-1. You know, his winning races off sort of 78 and 80 on the flat. So, you know, it was a smart sort on the level and has been running well in forehands over hurdles for Dan Scout and second, first. So, you know, always in the money. I just think the fact it's had a run only 20 days ago, fitness on his side, just sort of sways it for me rather than Black Poppy. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Black Poppy come home in front, because, you know, there's no doubt about it. He is the form horse. And Sammy Twiston will be going hell for leather and throwing the kitchen sink at it, that's for sure.
There we go. Yeah, I completely agree there. I mean, Johnny Pearson, I was looking through this race trying to find some value at bigger prices, but I was kind of siding just towards the top of the market. But as Robbie and Brett have both said, there is plenty of value at the top of that market.
Yeah, and hopefully we're going to find some of that value for you here. I mean, Black Poppy, okay, obviously best horse, the right favourite, but having been off 7, like, for all Kerry Lee can get on ready first time, and being off 7 months and bled last time, it's not a horse I'd be wanting to back myself, and I'd, you know, help if the horse goes and wins, fair enough. But I'm happy to watch that happen. But the one, if you'd been reading the Racing Post this week, you'd have seen a piece about horses that some of us have keep backing, even though they end up not winning, you know, the likes of Al Bashir, which we would have seen at Ascot last weekend, as unlucky as you can get. And one I'm going to back again is All the Glory for John Joe O'Neill. Obviously very impressive at Newbury when winning in March, albeit over further. That day she looked to have so much in hand. You know, she then fell at third the next time, a Haydock couldn't give any showing. And then, okay, disappointing last time out. But I'm willing to forgive that run. And I think, you know, based on Newbury run, I think there's still plenty more there. She's been dropped a pound for the last two runs, which is understandable. But I think there's so much more there. I think she should be able to give a good running. And with the extra places and sort of 20-1, I think it's worth an extra shout.
Okay, all the glory, yeah. Course and distance winner there, around 20-1 for the 240 at Market Raising. Very handy with those extra places. Right, let's move on to a race we'll definitely be getting extra places in, which is the 315 at Market Raising, the 2 mile, 5.5 furlong Unibet Summer Plate Handicap Chase. This is Mole Court as the 6-1 favourite. Statralillo is 15-2 for the Bowen Yard. Boomborn is 8-1. Soul Icon 17-2. Sure Touch 9-1. Frankie de Berlin, another one for the Bowen Yard, 9-1. Al Zarakan 10-1. And looking at bigger about the rest of the field in here. Johnny Pearson, I'm going to come to you first. I really like Frankie de Berlin here, which is potentially the second choice of the Peter and Michael Bowen stable. They've obviously got the two in there with James riding Frankie de Berlin, Sean riding Statue Rio. Who did you like in this?
I mean, Frankie de Berlin won the race in 21 and 22, so it's an obvious pick to go for from that sense. Clearly goes well over course and distance. I thought it looked a pretty tricky race, to be honest. And, you know, you can make cases for quite a few of those. But I'm going to go with the John Joe O'Neill team again and go with Prince Aeschylus at, well, near enough, completely outside of the market. You know, it didn't run badly last time, and we're having his third run since Windup, and if handling a step up in trip, I think it's far too big a price based on some of the form there. You know, look at that Cheltenham run back in December, which beat in a fair way. I mean, the November one with Triple Trade, you know, Calico coming in second, Guy in there, Madara in there finishing sixth. Obviously went over and won impressively in Ireland in February at the Dublin Racing Festival. You know, that form looks as solid as anything in here. And I think 25-1 is a very big price. You know, it's a big if the horse turns up and gives his running, but I think it's one I'm willing to take a chance on again.
Okay, there we go. Big prizes from Johnny Pearson this week. And yeah, Prince Aeschylus, John Joe O'Neill at stable, 25-1, a massive prize. And Brett Williams, he's definitely going to be getting extra place in the Unibet Summer Plate, isn't he?
Yeah, five places each way in this. And, you know, it's a corker, isn't it? You know, I think, you know, whether you like it or not this time of year, I think the good thing is we're going to get good ground. So it's not going to be run on a rock hard surface. It's, you know, it's not going to be run heavy. So it's going to be just a nice, proper Unibet summer jumping handicap. Frankie de Brulé obviously very well handicaps, won it 2 years previously. I think it's about £8 lower than when he last won it.
Yeah.
Peter Bowen's got a cracking record in it. He's won it 8 times. And even look at the stats, first run in 1995, there have actually been 2 11-year-olds win it. So that does bode reasonably well if you're a fan of Frankie de Brulé. I was quite keen on Sure Touch, who's, you know, wrapped a bit of a sequence, been in good form. For Ollie Murphy, of course, hasn't been seen since April, so arrives here quite fresh. That's not a concern for me, and Ollie can get them fit. I suppose the only sort of question mark about that would be the fact that Sean Bowen, you think, I know he's obviously going to ride for his dad, but he's stable jockey to Ollie Murphy, so he clearly feels he's got a stronger hand with the well-handicapped Frankie Dibber there. The other horse, Statuera, who has been well-backed as well. And La Dominelle has also been supported as well. A bit of support for that one, who's £4 lower than when running down the field last year. Kevin Broken comes in for the ride. And it is absolute corker. You know, I've done a load of homework on Hang In There yesterday, and then was a bit annoyed that it wasn't declared this morning. Yeah. So I've never a quick look at the form. And as I said, I like Sure Touch. I've not got a real strong opinion on it as to who I think will win. As you said, it's wide open, but it's surely going to be a crackerjack of a race, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, Sure Touch. Harry Cobden aboard. I was actually watching Harry Cobden on this morning.
Last year as well.
I was watching Harry Cobden this morning on this morning promoting Champions Full Gallop, which you can catch on ITV 1 at 9 p.m. on Friday evening. Yeah, he was on the sofa talking to Dermot O'Leary and Alison Hammond. So it's a good promo for the racing industry. But looking forward to seeing how that comes out on Friday night. Robbie Wilders, you're the last one to give us a view on this race.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of punters are going to like Frankie de Burley because he's obviously won it twice in a row. He's going for the hat trick, but he is 11 years old. I know he arrives in reasonable form, but I don't know. I just thought his stablemate Statuaro was a bit more interesting. I like horses that run quick times, and this horse has got the track record at Perth over 3 miles and 2.5 miles. The 3 mile one was on his last. The 3 mile one was on his last start when he beat Hang In There. Hang In There's come out and won that summer cup. He talks to in good style. He was quite well fancied for this. Obviously, Brett spent some time looking him up. But Statuaro, yeah, he's run a couple of good races at Market Racing in the past. He was third to Frankie the Burley in this couple of years ago when he was much less experienced and operating at a lower level. So I think, you know, he's in the form of his life. As a 9-year-old, he's going to get his ground. Intermediate trip, absolutely spot on. And I mean, the fact that Sean Bowen's riding him over the Ollie Murphy horse is quite exciting as well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to Dutch the two Bowen horses in this race, to be honest. I think they're both going to run massive races. So there we go. That is the Unibet Market Raising card covered on ITV. Let us know in the comments who you fancy on the card there at Market Raising. Shortly after this, though, we'll be looking at four races from Newbury.
Get 50% off your first 3 months in the Racing Post Members Club. As a member, you get access to the digital newspaper exclusively available to members the night before. You'll get daily tips on the likes of Pricewise, Tom Siegel, Robbie Wilders and Paul Keighley. Enjoy award-winning journalism from the industry's best writers and watch replays from all British and Irish racing now available within the Racing Post app. Subscribe today and get 50% off your first 3 months membership.
Welcome back to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've still got Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Unibet's Brett Williams taking you through the weekend action. We're off to Newbury now, back onto the flat for four races there. The 150 is where we start in the 1 mile, 2 furlong Stevenson Stakes. We've only got five runners and two of them are Shadwell horse at the top of the market. Ali Anabi is the odds on favourite, 4-6. Al Arsi is 100-30. Savvy Victory, 8-1. Phantom Flight, 10-1. And Sons and Lovers is 11-1. Robbie Wilders, Al Arsi has won six races at listed level or higher, but you've now got the newcomer in Ali Anabi, who do you think is the next kind of like listed group three horse for Shadwell? Do you think this horse is potentially a group one horse?
I don't know. He could be. Yeah. I mean, he's been running in top races, hasn't he? Not much wrong with the St. James's Palace run last time. Didn't know if he was a definite to improve for mile two. He's by 2.9 hot. A well-run mile could be his trip, and this could get a bit tactical. There's only five runners. I can only see one potential pace angle, and that's Phantom Flight, who's in a first-time hood on his first run for George Scott and seasonal debut. He's not been sitting in about a year. So I just thought it was just a lot of... I was surprised it cut up this much. I was quite a sweet McDuff at the start of the week. He's not running. Trying to find one to take Ali Anabi on with is kind of difficult. I just think he's got the most class of these. I mean, with the exception of Al Arsi, but he's returning from a layoff and he was awful when he returned last season, so I couldn't really fancy him. So, I mean, a lot of this can depend on how quick Phantom Flight goes because a few of these might take a bit of a grip. And it's quite an unsatisfactory turnout for me, and by default, I'll go for Ali Anabi because I think he's the best horse.
Okay, yeah, it's you're right. Only the five runners in here, whether it's the strongest field, we'll have to wait and see, but Brett Williams, you've got the 3-year-old Shadwell horse taking on the 7-year-old Shadwell horse. Which way did you look at this race?
Well, I think he's obviously Ali Anabi is just scared off all of the other runners, isn't it? I was looking at that Justin was also, I gave a bit of a squeak to him as well. But yeah, it has cut up significantly. It's not an each way race. We are actually boosting the price of Ali Anabi if you think that he will win. And to be honest, being realistic, there's no real reason why he should be opposed, really. As Robert's already said, he brings, not even arguably, he brings the strongest form into the race. You know, running in the Guineas, placed in the St. James's Palace, wasn't far behind City of Troy in the Dewhurst. The only sort of question mark is the fact that he's stepping up in trip. But to be honest, even if he doesn't end up as a mile and a quarter horse, I think he's just better than these horses. So we'll probably get it anyway. And maybe they'll drop him back in trip if they feel they need to. I was looking at the back of that Wingfield Stakes, it was Allium one last year. This horse finished fourth in it. And obviously that form is so, so strong now with Al Nusmak coming out and Ancient Wisdom, you've touched on as well. So that is very, very strong form, albeit as a juvenile. I just can't see him being beaten. He's been smashed in the betting with us. Just talking to our traders about half an hour ago, he was sort of opened up at 7-4, into 11-8, now 8-11. which I think is probably quite a realistic price, really. With regards to who's going to finish second to him, it's probably Al Arce. I was listening to William Haggis on Nick Luck's podcast earlier on in the week, and he says while he will improve for the run, he said he's pretty straight, so he wouldn't expect him to improve massively for it. And not that he was bullish of overturning the other Shagwell horse, but he's primed and ready to do the job. And Sons and Lovers, I suppose, is the other one you could throw in if there's a bit of an upset. You know, ran well in the Hampton Court last time. But no, Al Niabi will take plenty of beating here for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The only odds on favourite we're probably going to get on this week's show. Johnny Pearson, do you see this as a 1-2 for Shab, or is there something that could upset the picture?
I mean, Savvy Victory's been running pretty well, and I wouldn't want to discard him under Hashim Murphy. You know, the fourth behind Israel's not bad form at all. And then, you know, second behind Amur here at Sandown last time's not bad showing in the slightest. So, you know, he's not 16-1, looks quite generous. I'm not saying he's going to win the race, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure it should be a 16-1 shot. But I'm actually going to back Al Arce. I appreciate last time he returned off the layoff, he did get absolutely thumped by Kamara, which is a concern. He's 7 and you don't know what horse is going to turn up. But Al Arce at his best from last year, even when he was second in the Paddy Power Group 3 at Leopardstown in September, that's for me a higher level than what Al Niabi has shown so far. And I think if Al Arce turns up sort of at his best, near his best, he can prove too good here. You know, the trip's still an unknown for Al Niabi, which isn't ideal either. So I'm going to take a chance on Al Arce for William Haggis and Tom Marcond.
Okay, there we go. I'll see for Johnny Pearson. Then let us know down in the comments if you'll be taking on Ali and Arby in the Stevenson Stakes at Newbury. Let's move on to the 225 then, which is the Metal UK Handicap, just over 2 miles here. A staying handicap where Kyle of Locklash is a 7-2 favourite. Pridwin 4-1. Nakib is 9-2. Temporise is 7-1. Shagpile and Dancing in Paris 8-1. Double figures about the rest of the field here. Staying handicaps, are your bag, Brett Williams?
Yeah, if there was 8 flights of hurdles to jump as well. we are price boosting the favourite here, that Kyle of Locklash. Actually, that was a good run in the Ascot Stakes last time, wasn't it? Stepping back down in trip today, or on Saturday, I don't think we'll pose any sort of problems. If anything, we'll probably be even better for it as a proper outright two mile horse. I like, though, probably letting my heart run my head a little bit, Dancing in Paris. Trained by Ian Williams, whose horses are absolutely flying at the minute. I actually rode in Dancing in Paris yesterday. Lovely, big, strong horse by Olympic Glory, who, funny enough, actually doesn't really like soft ground, unlike his sire. He's stepping up in trip, which I think can only bring out more improvement for him. He won over 1.5 miles at Ascot last week. I think he's over those exertions. I mean, he was putting my arms out around the gallop yesterday, so he feels like he's pretty well. And I just think he can improve for the step up in trip as well. He's only £4 higher as well than Ascot. So, you know, at the right 8-9-1, I can see Dancing in Paris running at a decent race. And one other to throw into the mix, Sleeping Lion, who I thought was a bit unlucky in the Queen's Prize last time. Hasn't been seen since then, but again, is an out-and-out 2 miler on the flat. And I think can go well as well. But no, fingers and toes crossed, Dancing in Paris can run a nice race.
Yeah, Dancing Paris right at the top of my shortlist for this week in terms of nap material. Dancing in Paris, really like this horse. And Brett Williams giving this horse a ride to give me even more confidence. Johnny Pearson, to you then, who do you like in this 225?
I opened up this race card, had a look through it, and decided that I didn't want to have a bet on any one of these horses in this race. It's not a bad race. It's just I can make a case for a few of them, and I'd rather sit out and watch what happens than, you know, sort of chase something that's not 100% sure on.
No, absolutely fine. I say there's plenty of racing on ITV and plenty of racing this week, and you don't have to have a bet in every race. The MO at the Racing Post and Unibet is only bets with money you can afford to lose. Do gamble responsibly. Robbie Wilders, a handicap like this, you might like something in here.
Yeah, certainly, man. No, wrong with not having a bet, Johnny boy. It's interesting you've ridden Dancing in Paris. I was looking at an antipode. I wasn't sure if he was going to turn up because he's obviously only running a week after he ran at Ascot. But yeah, that Ascot form is very decent form. So if he is over it, he's got a massive chance. But Carl of Lockhouse was my antipode bet. I'll stick to him. Just think this horse is improving very quickly. He's very versatile. I mean, on his last two starts, he's absolutely hacked up at Salisbury on soft ground over 1.6 miles. then he's not been found out for stamina in the Ascot Stakes, two more four fast ground. This is sort of in-between test. It says good soft at the moment. It's going to quicken up, though, I'd imagine. 2 miles. I think he's still got a bit up his sleeve from the handicapper. And I think this is, well, certainly a weaker race than the Ascot race, at least. So with Holly Doyle up, I think he is by far the most likely winner, the Kyle.
Okay, yeah, Brett, it looked like you were going to step in and question Mr. Well, Wilders then.
I was just going to say, please, regards to that in Paris, Ian had one for the gutter and the Grand Vizier at both ends.
Yeah,
of
wow. He did.
So I think it's quite significant that he's, because we were talking to him in the week and he said, you know, not sure where we're going to go, you know, what we're going to do. Mm. So the fact he's just running down in Paris, I think it could be a bit of a tip in itself.
Yeah, I like him, mate. Yeah, I mean, if looking at the prices, he's the one you'd expect to shorten a fair bit, certainly.
Okay, there we go. So you're danced in Paris. There is a little bit of confidence behind this horse. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock then, which is the Hackwood Stakes over 6 furlongs, a Group 3 contest. I really like the look of this race. Regional is currently 11-4 favourite of Unibet. Elite Status 3-1. Lake Forest is 4-1. James Delight 8-1. Diligent Harry 17-2. Then we're looking at 12-1 Comanche Falls and Kind of Blue and 14-1. But these regional was the best of the British in the King Charles III Stakes, just behind Asfura, Royal Ascot. Elite Status, who looked sensational here last time. Lake Forest, I'll speak to what Robbie Wilder's about in a bit, because he was saying there's the big eye catcher from the Commonwealth Cup. But I'll start with Johnny Pearson, who didn't have a bet in the last race. Who's he fancy in this one?
I'm really keen on Elite Status here. He looked a potential superstar early in his 2-year-old career before sort of disappointing a little. But, you know, he's been given time off over the winter. And he looked better than ever when beating Relief Rally on reappearance last time. Mm. Who, of course, won the Super Sprint last year. And the form's working out fairly well. A day in Devon, finished third that day. He's gone and won a listed race since and second in a Group 3 last weekend. And it's no surprise that he's improved. You know, he looks quite a big, strong horse. He actually doesn't look like he was built to be that good a 2-year-old. And he looks like he should have developed into a 3-year-old. And I'm pretty sure that's happened. I think he could be very, very good and should win here.
Mm, yeah, no, I really like Elite Status in here. But the interesting one definitely is Lake Forest, who was the, like I say, the big eye catch from the Commonwealth Cup. Robbie, remember we both kind of pointed to him on a screen as they crossed the line and went, there's your eye catch from the Commonwealth Cup. What did we make of this race?
I remember that moment vividly. Yes, it's a good race, isn't it? I mean, I want to know exactly what the ground's going to be like at Newbury, because this could all change. I mean, the regional came out in the July Cup, didn't he, because of the conditions. He wants it very quick. Whereas Elite Status, Colbert took him out for the other reason in the Commonwealth, I believe. So I don't know. Lake Forest, as you say, is very, very interested in that Commonwealth Cup run. Made very eye-catching Lake Progress. He's interesting. I think the one the market has missed is Kind of Blue for James Fanshawe. Now, he was a couple of lengths behind Lake Forest, just nearly 2 lengths in the Commonwealth Cup, but it was only his third run. He made his debut in April at Kempton. He's come a long way quite quickly. I think he's open to a bit more improvement. James Fanshawe's entered him in races like the Nunthorpe and the Sprint Cup at Haydock, which is a good sign. And I'll just look at his pedigree. He's going to keep getting better and better. He's a half-brother to the Tin Man for the Yard and Deacon Blues. Those horses started out in handicaps off marks in the 70s, end up winning Group 1s. Kind of Blues already reached a much higher level at this relative stage of their careers. So I think he could end up being potentially top class, and you're getting quite a big price. So Kind of Blue would be my pick for this.
Yeah, 12-1 with Unibet currently. And there were nods from Brett Williams there when you mentioned Kind of Blue's name. Is this a fancy of yours as well, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, to come from that class fight novice at Doncaster to finishing fourth in a Grade One Commonwealth Cup is a massive step up. And, you know, he sort of handled it with aplomb, really. No, I think he's obviously improved. And at around 12-14-1, massive price. And, you know, you can obviously back him each way with the 10 runners in the race. I really do like him. Whether he's quite good enough to win at this stage in his career, I'm not convinced, but he's definitely going to run a decent race for sure. I'd like to see him go well. Elite Status for me is, I can't see any real reason to oppose him, to be honest. That was a good win in the Carnarvon Stakes last time. Obviously, couldn't run in the Commonwealth Cup, not to join. Did he actually? He actually got to Ascot, didn't he? Couldn't even run.
No,
so that was disappointing for him. And we are super boosting all the runners in that race as well. So you are going to get some generous odds with Unibet. Again, talking to our traders, there was a lot of support for regional. We opened up around 3-1, clipped into 11-4, then went into 9-4. That money's just dried up now and it's just sort of eased out to 11-4, which maybe just because there's been support come for the likes of elite status. Just one other to throw in there, Clive Cox's runner, James Delight, a real improver coming up through the handicaps, listed group threes and so forth. If the ground was a little bit softer, if there's a deluge of rain, I'd be quite keen on that horse running a nice race. But I think, although it has won on good ground, it does just seem to show its best form on soft. So for that reason, I'm going to sort of just a watch and brief advise with regards to him. But yeah, I think elite status is the most likely winner.
Okay, there we go. I think there's agreement from the panel there. Elite status looks a good win bet, but Kind of Blue looks a really big price at 12-1 for the Fanshawe Yard. So keep an eye out of that. The 3 o'clock Hackwood Stakes at Newbury. The final race on ITV is the 3:35. This is the Weatherby Super Sprint Stakes over 5 furlongs for the 2-year-olds, which sees It Ain't Two as the 5-2 favourite. Vingegaard is 9-2. Time for Sand was 5-1. Cardi 7-1. Mythical Composer 8-1. Cabern is 17-2. Do It Now 12-1 and bigger about the rest of the field. But before we get stuck into previewing this race, Brett Williams went down to Richard Hannon's yard earlier in the week to find out his thought on his runner, Miss Collada.
The Weatherby Super Sprint Regional race, the Hannons have farmed over the years. You've got two representatives this year, Perfect Ruby and Miss Collada. Hannon 1-2, perhaps?
That'd be nice, done that before. She's quite a nice filly, Miss Collada. She won two races. Last run at Salisbury was with a penalty. Physically, she has done extremely well. She's a different filly to what she was then. Tom Marquand's going to ride, and I'm hoping she'll run very well. It's not an outstanding race. There's a few horses in there with Ascot form, but quite often, I've found over the years, the Ascot form, they misfire a little bit in the super sprint for some reason or other. I don't know why. So this filly, we've targeted this from a fair while back. She comes into the race fresh and in great form. Very happy with them. Perfect Ruby. We're just trying to get a bit of money and hopefully she'll run into some of it.
When you say you target a race like the Weatherby Super Sprint, that is a hard race to target for when you've got 25 runners. So what is it you actually do to aim for it?
Well, she won her couple of races early. And then we thought, well, let's be clever, not go to Ascot. Give her a nice break. And she has done very well physically for that. And she gets in there with 8-9. And it's a chance for a, you know, not overly expensive filly to run for a lot of prize money. So play the sensible game and do that rather than thinking Ascot or listed races. And it's time for all of that. But if we go there, giving ourselves the best possible chance, a lot of the two-year-olds come the super sprint are already starting to do that. And this filly is not. She is definitely doing, I'm not sure how steep yet, but she'll definitely show a lot more than she has done so far this year. And she's already shown plenty.
So what sort of horse do you feel you need? Do you need a, when it's just had, what, 1-2 runs and still improving,
but
a bit of experience as well?
Fast one, yeah. One that hasn't cost too much. You know, 5 furlongs, they go light. They go very quick in the super sprint. And quite often, so a lot of it is cheap speed and they stop dead. But if you can just hang in there and you have a bit of class, you have a great chance of running through a lot of them and getting some good money. Or all the money, if you like, I hope.
So there we go then. Confidence around Miss Collada. A race that the Hannons, Richard Hannon Sr. did really well in. And Richard Hannon looking to do the same. Miss Collada, Tom Marquand taking the ride. Around 14-1 with Unibet. Brett, it's probably good to head down to Richard Hannon's ahead of obviously this weekend, but also Goodwood upcoming. There was probably plenty of content from Unibet's point of view.
Yeah, we got plenty off him actually. Yeah, we obviously just spoke through a few of his runners at the weekend and a lot of his contingent team heading to Sussex for the Qatar Goodwood Festival. I mean, whether Richard can win a fifth Weatherby Super Sprint this year with Miss Collada, he's actually got the one runner declared now and perfectly decided not to run. The Hannons have won it between them 11 times, so it's a race that they've farmed in recent years. And you know, it's you'd be foolish to ignore Miss Collada. I have looked at the form of that. She won impressively at Wolverhampton, then went to Salisbury, bolted up there. That race, I don't think, could have worked out any worse. Everything has ran in it since, and they've all been beaten. Although, if you heard from Richard in that little piece there, he did say she really is on an upward trajectory. So, you know, you can't blame it for what she's beaten. But as I said, that the form of that race is, couldn't be any worse. And also Time for Sandals, another horse who was quite well backed earlier on in the week. And also, I think it was noticed when it made its debut at Kempton was quite well backed as well. So they've obviously thought it's always been quite smart. The form of that race that it won has worked out very poor as well. So there's not too much to go on. When I was looking at this, I didn't even look at the prices. I just try and go by what I fancy. And I did come to it aim two, which I see is obviously no market leader. But, you know, arguably brings pretty strong form into this race, a little bit better than a few of the others. So it's not an inspiring selection, but I think the favourite will be the most likely winner. Although Miss Collider would be worth each way if you listen to Richard Hannon. But then why would you listen to Richard Hannon? What does he know?
Yeah, 8-2 then. One of the more experienced two-year-olds, one of the most experienced two-year-olds in the field. Top in the market, 5-2 with Unibet for Brett Williams. Rob, it's not easier whether it be super sprint stakes when you've got some horses who have run five times, some horses have just had the one run. How did you look at this race?
Yeah, it's not easy, mate. I've actually backed a non-runner, so I was annoyed this morning. But I've sort of recomposed myself. I mean, over the last 10 years, no horse has won from a draw lower than 13. And a couple of, quite a few of the fancied runners in the betting are drawn low. The one that isn't is it ain't two. The market's obviously not missed her now in stall 15. She is well treated by these conditions. Yeah, I mean, I was going to, now my mistress isn't running, I was going to turn to Time for Sandals and Vingegaard. I think I'll pick Time for Sandals. Harry Eustace saddled the third in this last year, the same owners as well, on his second run. Yeah, I thought there's a lot to like about Kempton debut. The form hasn't been tested too much, but she should have no worries with the drop down in trip. She's in stall one, but I mean, to play devil's advocate in the low draw thing, last year, if you take out Relief Rally, the next four home were in the far side group, the low numbers. It was the place to be last year. It's just the horse that won was just absolutely thrown in. It's a periphery of Group 1 class. Yeah, this Time for Sandals, I think, looks a really good prospect. Tony Karen, 8 stone 8. Richard Kingscote doing his lowest joint lowest weight over last year to get down for the ride. I think he's going to get held up and then try and weave her way through. And, yeah, I think she might have more potential than pretty much anything here. So I'll go with her with the slight doubt about the draw.
Okay, Time for Sandals, 5-1. Yeah, one run, one win at Kempton back at the end of June. Just keep an eye out for that one there. And Johnny Pearson, you're to give us the final angle in this race.
I quite like this race, generally. I think it's because it's a bit mental compared to every other race at Canada. In fact, your weight's determined by how much you cost at the sales.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard to get away. The weight's just hard to get away from. It ain't two at the top of the market. Last year, Relief Rally ran at Ascot and ran well there. And, you know, a couple in here are trying to do the same again. But I don't see that happening myself. But, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. The weight, it's hard to get away from. It ain't two. It was very good when second last time. Sandown decent in Newmarket the time before that. And I think she'll just be too good.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, it was actually, you've mentioned sort of how the race works in terms of the weights and the pricing and all that. And it was interesting, Brett, in that VT we just listened to of how Richard Hannon goes about targeting this race with certain horses.
Yeah, well, I thought it was quite interesting. As you said, often the Royal Ascot form just doesn't tend to play out as you'd expect at Newbury, and for whatever reason that may be. I mean, yes, it's a very unique race, isn't it? Of course, your weight reflects the damage you cost at the sales, which obviously reflects what weight you carry. Yeah, I mean, he knows, you know, you think he's won it with the likes of Tiggy Wiggy, Ginger won it a couple of years ago as well. You know, it's a race that they know the type of horse you need to win with. And I just, you know, as I said, the format race for Miss Collada is not very good. But he did say she's, and the fact is, you know, he could have thrown a handful of runners at this race. The fact he's only got the one, I think that's got to be a decent tip in itself. But yeah, I think you need a horse that's got a little bit of class, it's unexposed, but it's also quite battle hardened. So he's had just a couple of runs just to sort of, you know what they're doing. And I think Miss Glad does very much fit into that bracket, as does the favourite, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there we go. There's the thoughts on the Weatherby Super Sprint at 3:35 at Newbury. And that's it for the ITV races. Like I say, get those comments in down below of who you fancy this weekend. But shortly after this, we're going to be giving our other bets elsewhere, as well as our weekend naps.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? with an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcards. Like I say, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by UniBet. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Brett Williams. Now giving our other bets this weekend away from the ITV cameras. Johnny Pearson, I'll come to you because it's not just a big weekend in the UK, but also over in Ireland with the Irish Oaks taking place.
Yeah, and I think market's probably got it right with Content being favourite for Aidan O'Brien. You know, that third behind Blue Stocking last time in the Pretty Polly Stakes is what looks to be pretty solid form there, moving up John in second. But I think, and Lope Delilah's for Willie Mullins, there's been a lot of chat about her, and she looked mightily impressive when winning a maiden last time, and she could be very, very good. But, you know, the market's not missed her at all. I think the one that looks massively overpriced to me is Purple Lily for Paddy Toomey. They're beaten just half the length behind Azalea back in April. He obviously went and romped home in the Epsom Oaks. Okay, she's a little disappointed in the Irish Guineas, but there's no pace run that day. But going back up in trips is going to suit her, and I think 20-1 is a massive price and a good each way bet there. And then in the 4:15, you've got Coma International Cup over a mile six, and Tower of London, and that's a pretty solid bet there. And I think he should be too good for the rest of them. But, you know, Vauban's in there, which could be interesting, obviously not having to run over 2.5 miles this time, which should bring more improvement to him, potentially. And going all the way to Saratoga in America at 11:17 p.m., there's a horse, a filly called Torpedo Anna. He looks very, very good. I imagine she'll be quite a short/long odds on price, but I think she, you know, depending on the price, she could be a very good bet.
Listen up, mate. No one wants to be back in Odds on Trots at 11:30 on a Saturday night. Time for
it. Right. Yeah, Roy Wilders, what have you got for us in the Irish Oaks and also
well,
in
got Saratoga? One thing to know about the colour is there's an awful lot of rain forecast that could change the dynamic a bit. I think Tower of London's very much a quick ground horse. I mean, I do like him. Like him a lot, what he did in Maidan, a couple of starts. Mm. But he's beat Giovolotto twice this year already. I think he's a very good horse still. He was just very bad at York. But now with the weather, the way it's looking, they quite like You Got To Me at the start of the week. She's still around 25-1. She's quite closely matched with Port Fairy on that Ribblesdale. I thought she ran a massive race in the Ribblesdale, considering how fiercely keen she pulled. She was about 10 lengths clear at one point and didn't give up once she was headed. She's interesting, but I think she might want a sounder surface. I think War Chimes has a better shot than odds of around 9-1 suggest. Now, she was third in the Oaks to Ezzelia. I had quite a wide trip that day. That was her first run over a mile four. She's bred to be better over that trip. Got loads of form on soft, heavy ground for Devin Menizio, who's been hitting the crossbar in all these classics this season. Definitely going to stay. Should be more to come. And I would worry now Ryan Moore's riding Content. She was eye-catching the Pretty Polly, but, I mean, her stamina over a mile four on soft, I'd have to raise a doubt or two about that. She's very speedy on the dam side as well. Mecca's Angels, a mother, the non-fourth winner. So I don't know. I think Content's probably the best horse in the race, but would she be ideally suited if this turns into a bog? I'm not sure. I think War Chimes would, so she'll do for me.
Okay, there we go. A nice view of the Irish Oaks from Robbie Wilders. Brett, I'll just come to you for a reminder of all the Unibet offers this weekend.
Yeah, so obviously go onto the website to get the latest offers. But if you haven't bet in the 5-past two at market race and you're back the second or third, you're going to get your money back as cash in that race. And we're also paying 4 places. So money back and 4 places in the 5-past two at market race. And you're going to get the best industry price and 5 places each way in the 2:40 at market race. And if you fancy having a bet in the 3:15, the official feature of the day, the Unibet Summer Plate, we are paying 5 places each way in that. 4 places each way in the Weatherbiz Super Sprint. And if you fancy out in the RB, in that Stevenson Stakes, you will get the price boost with that horse as well. So lots of incentives to get involved with the racing. Wherever you are, punting on the course, as we always say, gamble responsibly.
Absolutely, yeah. But do head over to unibet.co.uk for all of the offers there and terms and conditions on the website there. Right, gents, it's nap time. Best bets for the weekend ahead. I'm going to kick things off because I feel like Robbie Wilders and I will conflict races potentially. But I'm going to go in the 225 at Newbury. And I'm going to go with Dancing in Paris. Brett's already made a really good case for this horse. Won really well at Ascot last time. I think the step up and trip's really going to suit this horse. I can see this horse being a real out and out 2 miler in time. And if getting over that kind of run last week at Ascot, I think this horse has a massive chance and is a really big price at 9-1 with Unibet and the 225 at Newbury. Johnny Pearson, to you, who's the best bet this weekend?
It's elite status in the 3 o'clock at Newbury. As I said earlier, I think we'll be too good for the rest of
it. Yeah, another one the panel were quite keen on. Brett Williams, your best bet this weekend?
Yeah, we're going to stick with mostly Sunny in the 240 at Market Raise and four runs for Dan Scout, and 1-2 of them finished second on the other two occasions. Was pretty smart on the flat. I think the step up in trip will suit him, and at around 8-1, I think he's a solid each way bet.
Okay, there we go. And Robbie Wilders, my next best would have been in the summer play at Market Raise, and I'm kind of thinking you might would go it? There.
Nah, I think there's quite a lot of potential winners in that. I'm not sure if there are as many in the opener. So I'm going to go 205 at Market Raise and Flying Fortune for that. Close to double figures. I think that's a good price.
There we go. A lovely looking graphic on screen now with all the best bets this weekend. They're all going to be boosted by Unibet at the time of this podcast and video upload. So you can head to unibet.co.uk to get hold of all of those. So there we go. A nice, quick, short, snappy show this week after last week's marathon of a show. But as always, at the end, I always like to find out what people are doing with the weekend coming up. Robbie Wilders, starting with you, what's on the agenda this weekend? Mate.
There's only one place to start, yeah? Andrew Wilshire's wedding, Sunday in Egham. Decent racing post turnout going to be there. I'm sharing a room with a good friend and colleague, Andrew Pennington, so it's all eyes on that for me. What about you, mate?
Oh, no, absolutely. Just a big shout out to Andrew Wilshire, a race post colleague, getting married this week. And always nice to give a shout out on the podcast. I'm actually going to be fairly relaxed because it's going to be leading into Goodwood Week in a couple of weeks, which definitely won't be relaxing for me. So I'm going to relax as much as possible and do absolutely nothing but watch a bit of the racing on the telly. And if it is sunny, try and get out somewhere. Johnny Pearson, to you, any plans this weekend? Golf?
Not a huge amount. But nothing mad, working Sunday. But other than that, watching the Open and the last week of the Tour de France.
Absolutely, yeah. Tour de France, that'd be the kind of thing that Matt Gardner would be very into if he was on this show. But yeah, the Open is currently on. I've actually got it just on the screen in front of me here.
So. Pretty brutal condition so far, isn't it?
It does, yeah. Very windy there. And Brett Williams, what are your plans this weekend?
I'm just going to head down to Worcester, actually, in about an hour. They've got a decent eleven card there, and then I'll be at Newbury on Saturday. Interesting, you said, you know, you're going to have a quiet time and just sit on the sofa and do absolutely nothing until Goodwood. But I was talking to Dave Lowe yesterday, and he was saying that's all you do every day anyway.
Oh, behave. No, absolutely not.
Sam, you got much more on than me. I'll give you that for free.
I'll question my fellow producer on that one there. But yeah, looking forward to this weekend. But anyway, big thanks to our panel, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Brett Williams, the super sub, stepping in this weekend to cover Market Raising in Newbury. As always, do like, comment, share and subscribe. And we'll be back again next week and we'll be covering the King George. Looking forward to that. So do join us then. Thursday, 7 p.m. We'll see you soon.